You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
Joining me on the program now is co-founder of Still Minding the Gap and co-founder of the Coalition to End Women Homelessness, Jo Cribb. With a doctorate in public policy, across Jo's career, she's invested her time, energy and spirit into advancing the cause of protecting those vulnerable in our society, spearheading some of the most difficult issues of our time, including child poverty, abuse, family violence and vulnerable women. She's the director of multiple government and NGO boards, such as the Literary Aotearoa and Royal NZ Navy Leadership and the NZ Media Council, just to name a few there. Here today to chat about the July Still Minding the Gap campaign. Welcome to the show, Jo. How are you this morning?
Oh, great. Morena.
You've got a lovely red lipstick on. I mean, we're here to talk about women's pay, but I just wanted to talk about your lipstick.
It's because it's such a shitty, am I allowed to say that, day in that, and it's kind of like you put that on and it makes you smile, right? So that's my secret weapon for pooking up the day is stick some lippy on. There you go.
Jo's top tips. Sweet. So we'll jump in. Just starting off straight off the bat with some statistics. Many people, I think, might not necessarily think it, but Aotearoa, there is still a gender pay gap, 5.2% for women, 12% for Māori wahine, and 16% for Pacifica women. Still Minding the Gap is a campaigning for urgent action to reduce these gaps. Before we get into the specifics of the campaign, can you tell us a little bit about your history with it?
Yeah, so I guess my history started many years ago. I was a senior analyst, like I was a business analyst, and my team leader was seconded to another area, and I was asked if I could act up into the team leader role, and you know, I said, yeah. And I was offered a acting up allowance, which I think was about 5% as a top up of my salary. And then my team leader's sort of secondment became permanent, and I was offered the team leader role at that salary. So that was my analyst role plus 5%. And when I left the job about 3 years later and saw what they advertised it for, actually the band that it was supposed to be in, I'd lost literally hundreds of thousands of dollars over that 3 years, and all my male colleagues had been paying properly, and it was me who was essentially wearing the brunt of that. And like I could work that out because it was so obvious.
Yeah.
But so many of us are sitting there, not, you know, probably being underpaid, and we don't know it. So. Mm. I don't know about you, but that's just unfair, and it's just not how we do things around here. And all the research, again, unfortunately, the numbers show that as a country, you know, women are going to stop work about 4 o'clock this afternoon. Everyone, all women, start working for free. Wahine Māori, sort of mid-afternoon. Pacific woman, like that, you know, it's nearly 20% of the day they're working for free. It's substantial, you know, impact on people's ability to I don't know, feed themselves, look after their kids, you know, buy
absolutely
shoes. Yeah, just, you know, and things are tough out there, right?
Yeah. And then you're putting on top of that the kind of invisible labor that women often do in the home after they've clocked off, you know.
Yeah, so the second job, children, eh?
Yeah, that, yeah, the second job.
Even see as well. What is really interesting, so Still Mind the Gap is really wanting to make sure that we don't forget we've got these gaps, because I think we sometimes think that we're a country where that we are fair.
Totally.
And like I keep, every time I hear, oh, but Kate, we gave women the vote, you know, and this Kate Shepherd, but I'm sitting there like, that was 180 years ago and we've done nothing else since, in a way. Like, we've got this kind of myth that we are, you know, really, that we have this equity in our organisations, and it isn't true. The embarrassing thing is that the rest of the world has decided essentially that they're not going to have pay gaps, and they've done things about it. So the thing that works the best, like the thing that a country or a government can do that works the best, is to make businesses, make organizations publish their pay gaps. And so that means they have to go and look and see if they've got one. And essentially, once you've gone and seen it and have to publish it, you don't want to publish big gaps, so you fix it.
Yeah.
You don't want to publish gaps that are going the wrong way. And even the act of forcing people to make, to go and look if they've got paybacks, gaps or not, makes a huge difference. So that Every single business in the European Union, so every business in Europe has to do this. You know, it's the UK, even Australian businesses, like they're like, we're aren't we better than the Aussies? But you know, they have to do it. So like we're sitting here lagging behind, and you know, it's women, Māori, Pacific, actually all of us don't have transparency. We don't have the ability to know, am I being paid fairly compared to the person next to me? Where, you know, all the countries that we compare ourselves have that ability to do. And the really interesting thing is Still Mind the Gap did some research. We got some clever researchers from BERL to go and ask a whole lot of businesses about what you know, do they measure their pay gaps, and then if they measure them, what they do. And it was over 300 businesses. Half of them had measured and reported their pay gap. The other half had not measured their pay gaps. So I just want to sit with that. Like half, potentially half of New Zealand businesses and organisations have do not know if they've got a gender pay gap or not because they haven't measured it. So all your listeners are potentially going into jobs where the organisations do not know if they have pay gaps or not, and that you know, you will not know because they do not know. And the interesting thing is we asked them, like, why didn't you measure pay gaps? And the answer, there was two answers that were given, sort of 50-50 each. The first one is, well, we don't have to, so why would we? Which is kind of a, you know, if we, which kind of makes you, I don't know, well, wherever that came from. But the other one I think is even more interesting. The other reason given was, hey, but we're fair, we've got employers, so of course we won't have pay gaps. So we don't need to measure them because we won't have them. But again, like if you look at what happened in the world, look at Australia, all their businesses report, and it's the tiniest percentage that doesn't have a pay gap. So we've got thousands and thousands of businesses saying there, and the employee, you know, the bosses are going, hey, we're fair. And you know, I don't think they get up in the morning and go, how can I pay women less in this organization?
Yeah,
But we know
totally.
it happens, right? And so essentially, we have this again, this myth in our organizations that we're fair when all the research would show actually we're sitting on big gaps and we don't know. So that's what the law will do. It'll make those even those good bosses go and have a look. And I think those good bosses are going to be a bit shocked when they do. And I know those good humans will fix it. Again, we found of the organizations that are reporting their pay gaps, nearly 50% of them, the first act they did was increase women's summer women's salaries. Like they corrected the issue. So again, just think about how many women, Māori Pacific, are sitting there on salaries that aren't right if that many businesses had to correct them. So I think it impacts all of us. We all have women in our lives, even if we aren't. We also want to work in workplaces where everything's fair, right? You know, good work is rewarded. And has nothing to do with our skin color or our gender. So
Absolutely.
interesting, eh?
And the major part of this campaign is the pay transparency bill, a bill that would require, like you say, the reporting of gender pay gaps for employers with over 150 staff. And it wouldn't set wages, it wouldn't put quotas in place, it would just simply make those gaps visible. You've definitely covered why that's important. I want to go towards one of the other statistics on the Still Minding the Gap website. It says that only 20% of gender and ethnic pay gaps can be explained by factors such as women's education levels or like occupational experience, and up to 80% are being driven by decisions made within organizations and workplaces about pay and promotion, whether those be coming from a place of unconscious or conscious bias.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's been an awful lot of research into the gender and ethnic pay gaps as well, and the pattern is the same. So we often think, you know, women might as a population be paid less because, you know, we work part-time more often. You could say that we're less qualified or we w work in areas that might not get paid as much. But when the clever, again, the researchers hold that all constant, they can't explain 80% of the gender pay gap. So it isn't about the characteristics of individual women. It isn't about where they work. It's their jobs. It is the what they call is the infirm differences. So it's the choices of our bosses about how they pay us, because that is where the differences are coming from. They're coming from essentially pay setting behavior in organizations They're not coming from the characteristics of woman. So the only way we're going to fix the pay gap, it's not about fixing women, it's not about fixing Māori, it's not about fixing our Pacific sisters. It's actually about ensuring our pay setting processes are fair.
Yeah.
And the pay transparency bill will make employees essentially have to front up and have a look at that.
Yeah.
And if they've got gaps that are unjustified, it's going to be pretty hard to hide them. So yeah, like it's so frustrating, right? It's just the it's just sitting there.
Mm.
And again, I don't think there's a whole lot of managers who are going, how can I
pay
certain groups? But we all know how it sort of plays out, as you said, consciously or unconsciously. To give some examples, like if you haven't experienced that sense of being paid less, you don't quite understand it. But like I've even been in interview panels, like been on the panel, and my male colleagues have said, well, we can't really appoint her because she'll have babies soon, do you know, and we'll lose her. And so and that is happening like this year.
Yeah.
And it's not mean, do you know what I mean?
It's just
bias. And surely she has a choice about whether she wants that job or not. And she might have a partner who's going to, like, we can't make all these assumptions, right? But they're being made in rooms all across New Zealand, even today, that end up that women aren't offered opportunities, aren't offered promotions, aren't paid as much, aren't seen as valuable. If you work part time, you're probably not seen as, you know, as much as a team player as if you're there.
Yeah.
You know, if you knock off at lunchtime on a Friday, how can you be less valuable than somebody who, I don't know, looks at Facebook for those last 3 hours?
Yeah.
I'm being
cynical,
but do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
All these things play out to end up with those pay gaps, and 16% for Pacific women is pretty
massive. It's very uncomfortable. And it's an uncomfortable truth in Aotearoa. Like, I think what you were talking about with, you know, everybody's like, oh, but Kate Sheppard, oh, but, you know, New Zealand, we were this first feminist nation. And a lot of the time these are unconscious things. They don't come from a place of, you know, cruelty or being mean, like you say. But we've also got to keep track of them, because especially with social media and this kind of rise of more, you know, like, trad wife kind of themes for young people, like really young teenagers who are exposed to that kind of things and narratives about what it is to be a woman. As soon as we let these things slip, as soon as we stop talking about them, they're not going to keep quietly getting better in the background. They're going to quietly get worse in the background.
Absolutely. And I think you're absolutely, look, I think as a country, Aotearoa has been riding on the coattails of poor Kate Sheppard for so many centuries. And kudos to them, they're amazing, but we haven't done it again.
Mm.
In fact, on most measures, we're kind of lagging, and we're potentially going backwards. And I just think it's embarrassing that Australia got there. We just think we're better, but we're not.
Yeah.
And their gender pay gap is tracking down really quickly, because this works, essentially.
Yeah.
Things like bias and discrimination happen, I think they happen like in the dark. They're happening in like the moldy bit of my closet here. Do you know what I mean? Like where the dark mold happens.
Yeah.
And as soon as we get some bleach and sunlight on them, they do tend to go away. So, and so that's what that's what I think we need to do, is to really be really transparent about what's going on, that we can all see it, rather than, you know, pay gap decisions being made behind closed doors and gaps happening that you can't see and data not being shared. So a little bill is all I want. That's all we want. And it's really easy. It doesn't cost businesses anything.
Yeah.
Most of them have the payroll systems. They can generate it immediately. So it's not, you know, it's a tough time for businesses. Don't necessarily want to put any extra costs on them. But the research shows they're like two clicks away in their payroll system from measuring their gender pay gap. So,
Wow. Hey,
let's get those two clicks happening right across
So you're calling
to, right?
For people to visit the Still Minding the Gap website, and you have this great little metaphor of just putting a biscuit in the tin, you say. And when you put the biscuit in the tin online, you know, enter your name and details and say that you back this bill, you'll be taking it to Parliament at a high tea, won't you? So how's that process work? And where did you get to the cookie jar kind of analogy?
Yeah, so so where we got to the biscuit is, so essentially it's a petition, but to make it a bit more fun, when you go on, essentially you're putting a biscuit in the tin. And the way we got to biscuit is that I think New Zealanders really, I don't think, I think that what unites us, we all like a good bicky, right? We can argue about which one's the best, and but I think we all like a big bicky. Cross-culturally, there's a raft of different, everyone's got a favorite biscuit. And we also like things to be fair, so those two things go together. But the sense is that some of us get chocolate biscuits, we get the Tim Tams, and some of us get to the packet of Tim Tams and it's empty and we're left with the vanilla wines, and we don't think that's fair, because some of us today will be paid more than others, and that just doesn't make sense. So we're using essentially the biscuit to demonstrate inequality. Not all biscuits are the same or created the same. But also there's another interesting rift. So the pay transparency bill that we're talking about, that's the bill that would make businesses have to publish their pay gaps, is sitting in a biscuit tin in Parliament. That's where bills sit while they're waiting to be supported. So it is literally sitting on a bit of paper in a biscuit tin on Parliament, and we'd kind of like it out of that biscuit tin. So hence it all together. So yeah, if people could really go onto our website, Still Minding the Gap, pop a biscuit in that tin and say, hey, time up on pay gaps, right? It's not the workplaces we want to go into. It's not the country we want to live in. Really simple. Get your mates to do it as well. The more biscuits we've got in there, the more we can say to Parliament, sort this out, put the bill in. And we're hosting a high tea on the grounds of Parliament at lunchtime on the 29th. So if anyone is in and around Wellington and they want free biscuits, come to our high tea. We're going to get our Nana's tablecloths out. We're going to bring our fine china, and we're going to present the petition to a number of MPs and hopefully ministers as well. So, yeah, it's a good, I think it's a great cause. Gotta love a bicky, right?
Amazing. And all the creative slogans as well. I love that shortbread is fine, being shortchanged isn't. Kiwis know a decent biscuit, sorry. Hundreds and thousands, try 40,000s. Those are all great.
Oh, you just wait while we're coming. We've got another couple of weeks, and it's amazing what you can do with nuts and dough and all that. And you just wait to see what creatives are coming out. It's so much fun to do it. So I'd really appreciate if people could put a biscuit in that tin. Just our website, Still Minding the Gap. You'll find it pretty easily. And hey, together we can get this over the line, I reckon.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Jo. It's been lovely to have you on the program.
Oh, my pleasure. And we might have to have an argument about our best biscuit, right?
Yes. Yeah, that's true. I'm a ginger nut. I love a good ginger
Ginger
nut.
nut, but you have to dunk it, right?
But I'm not often, I'm not really a snacky person, which is kind of controversial, but I don't really like to snack that much. So
Yeah.
I really only like a biscuit when I've got tea in front of me.
Really?
Yeah, I
I
know.
don't know.
You're giving me a face that's
I
going
don't know if that's
crazy.
normal, right?
What
I
about
think
you?
if we've got Tim Tams in the house, they like sit in the cupboard and talk to me and say, "I'm lonely, come and eat me." So we can't have Tim Tams in the house that often, eh?
Dangerous product.
They've got little voices and they call you, "Come and eat me."
Thank you so much, Joe.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
That was Joe Cribb on the program talking about the Still Minding the Gap campaign. You can find them online, you can share them on social media, and you can drop a biscuit in the tin if you feel compelled to do so. I definitely will. Here next on.
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.